We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
I'm talking right now. You're about to experience a morning show unlike any other.
Shout out to the Breakfast Club. I hope to see y'all every morning.
What you guys are doing right now is the hub culture.
The Breakfast Club is my morning fit. I need it and I love it so much.
I feel like you're really not popping until you do the Breakfast Club.
I've been waiting to come to y'all's show, man. I know really? You got to be a big time celebrity to be up in here. You got to be big time.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Break the fuck out.
Good morning, USA.
Yo, 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 yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Pump day.
Yes, it's Wednesday. It's hump day, middle of the week.
Good morning. What's happening? Good morning to you. What happened to A-Town, man? Good morning to A-Town. A-Town still in these streets?
Mm-hmm. We spoke about that. Remember the movie he just did?
Oh, he did a movie?
And everything? Mm-hmm.
This was a while
we talked
ago.
About it on the air. Then he hit us up.
Yeah, it's like a couple
afterwards.
Months ago. It's like 6 months, 7 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know he did a movie. Okay. All right, salute to A-Town.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was riding in this morning, man, listening to that Miguel 4-pack.
Okay.
That Art Dealer Cheek. Drop on a clip. What's it called? What's that word called? Cheek? Chic?
Yeah.
C-H-I-C?
Volume 4.
Man,
volume
drop
four.
On the clues bombs for Miguel. Man, I love Miguel, man. Miguel is incredible. And then, you know, your title playlist just goes down, you know, random songs. And they start playing all type of R&B records. So they started playing old Miguel, like How Many Drinks in the Dawn. Then it played Chris Brown Back to Sleep. Then it hit me with Ari Lennox and Queen Naja. Then it came with Beyonce Drunk in Love.
So you horny this morning. That's what it sounds like.
I'm not horny. I feel good.
Okay.
I feel good, okay? That's all what R&B right. does to you. It makes you feel good.
All right.
And I feel, you know, I never mind.
What? Say it.
No, we were having a debate on the Brilliant Idiots podcast about Rihanna versus Beyonce. And a versus 20 songs, 20 songs.
I think Beyonce got it.
Yeah, I said Rihanna at first, but I didn't say it with much confidence. But, yeah, you can't bet against Queen B.
No.
I'm a Pinkett Smith Winfrey Knowles Carter, but, you know, when you start hearing the drunken loves and the loves on top. Like, Rihanna
Absolutely.
Got 14 number ones. I think she got the fourth most number ones ever. But Beyonce got a lot of cultural smashes.
Absolutely.
So does Rito. But, yeah.
I don't know if it's as much as Beyonce. Does Beyonce go in the Destiny's Child catalog?
She would probably have to, yeah. I mean, not, no, she wouldn't have to, she probably would.
But
yeah.
if she did,
Yeah. But, you know, but I'm fresh off jumping out the car listening to Surfboard, too, though. So that's, you know.
I'm
a prisoner of the moment right
that's
now.
That's your thing,
surfboard. You know that drunken love. That I used to play drunken love
somebody.
So much up here. I used to come here
this
every day
crazy.
Listening to Drunk in Love and we used to be in his surfboard. Yeah. Don't lie, Envy.
Who's we?
Me, Envy, yeah. and our old board up, okay. MEZ, Marinelle.
Well, guys, cover your butts this morning.
I ain't got nothing to do with butts. Why everything got to do with butts up here? Jesus Christ.
My goodness. Now, front page news, what are we talking about?
Well, let's talk about this Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They have paused the use of that vaccine over blood clot concerns.
In Harlem, they pause Johnson's all the time. If a man says Johnson in Harlem, they pause it all the time, okay?
All right. Well, this is for you, Bay. Go ahead.
Hey! Drop one of Clue's bombs, goddammit! Oh, let's go! That's what I'm talking about. That's how you start the morning. Our beautiful bodies grinding up in that club.
My goodness.
Drunk in love, we be all night. Hey.
Let me know when you're done.
Hey. First of all, nobody likes it like that, okay? Let me know when you're done. I need you to be into it, too.
This guy's crazy.
I need you to be into it, too. Let me know when you're done.
I wish you guys could have seen him surfboard.
That's where we at.
All right.
Okay, I need some intimacy back.
What's wrong with you this morning, man? No more R&B music for you on the way in.
I've been drinking.
Let's get some front page news. This guy, man. Where we starting, ye?
Well, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration are recommending that the U.S. pause the use of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. They said there were 6 reported U.S. cases of a rare and severe type of blood clot. One person is currently in critical condition. Another woman died. The 6 reported cases were among the more than 6.8 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Now, what if you got that vaccine? Should you be concerned? Here's what Dr. Fauci has to say.
It appears that this adverse event occurs within between 6 days and 13 days. So if you're beyond 4 weeks and you've had it a month or two ago, I think you really don't need to worry about anything. If you are in the time frame of within a week or two of having gotten vaccinated, this is a very rare event. It's less than 1 in 1,000,000.
Oh,
having
shut
said
up.
That, you still want to be alert to some symptoms such as severe headache, some difficulty in movements, or some chest discomfort and difficulty breathing.
But like they said, 1 in 1,000,000.
You believe that? Stop listening to them people,
come
man.
Yeah, come on. I mean, from 6 people, you think they'll pause the whole
exactly.
thing?
Exactly. Stop listening
but
to them people,
saying,
man.
Is that I mean, if you feel any of those symptoms like headaches, abdominal pain, leg pain, shortness of breath within 3 weeks after vaccination, then please contact your healthcare provider according to the statement that has been put out. Now, as far as the effects on women, it feels like it could be something how like birth control pills are related. Is it hormonal? Here's what Dr. Fauci had to say.
These are women of childbearing age. Does this suggest that it could be hormonal?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we want to investigate. There have been similar types of phenomena that have occurred during pregnancy. Clotting abnormalities are known in women who take birth control pills. So certainly there could be a hormonal aspect to this.
Hey, man, I'm going back to what all the doctors told me last fall. They all told me just wait at least a year if you can. They said when that first batch of the vaccines come out, you know, don't be in a rush to go get them. This is what doctors told me, doctors that I use. Not just black doctors, these are white doctors, too.
So. It's funny.
Well, all
doctors
6
that
cases occurred among women.
You told me they
all
have
6
to take
cases
it, so
occurred.
Got you.
All 6 of these cases occurred among women between the ages of 18 and 48. And symptoms did occur 6 to 13 days after vaccination. Now, you guys brought up vaccine hesitation. Here is what Dr. Fauci has to say about that.
Will this fuel vaccine hesitancy?
Well, certainly that is a concern. The question that is often asked, does this have anything to do with the other vaccines, the mRNAs from Moderna and from Pfizer? You know, absolutely not. There's no negative or adverse or red flag signal coming from any of those vaccines, which is very good news. In other words, they are very safe.
What I don't understand is with all these vaccines out there, shouldn't they pretty much have the same thing in them? Because they're fighting the same thing? Shouldn't it?
I don't know. Ask Dr. Fauci since you believe in him so much.
I believe in the doctors and what the doctors are doing.
He's a doctor!
Well, my doctors took the vaccine. I took the vaccine. My parents took the vaccine. My wife took the vaccine. My daughter took the vaccine. We all right. You know what I mean?
But you don't know the long-term impact. You know, the CDC is examining the case of a woman who died after getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in Virginia.
Yeah.
She was 45 years old.
But we don't know the long effects of actually getting COVID either. So it's you do it, hey, damn if you do.
That's true. But I know one thing. You can't recall the vaccine after it's in your body. I know that much.
Yeah, but I don't think it lasts. I think it lasts up to a year.
But the vaccine?
Yeah.
So you got to get it again?
That's why you have to get every year. Mm-hmm.
It's like getting the flu shot. Every year you got to get
just like the flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that either.
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
I haven't gotten that either.
Okay. All right. Awkward. Get it off your chest. 800. Play some more R&B, man. I need him more hype, man.
What you
800-585-1051.
Throw that Chris Brown back to sleep on for the Screech one time. Throw that Chris Brown back to sleep on for the culture.
Don't play with him looking at me like that. Do not play that record, man.
All this talk of Johnsons.
Get it off your chest.
Where's the Johnsons and Johnsons?
This guy.
Johnsons on Johnsons.
585-1051. This guy's horny. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating Walbrook, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed,
say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hi, this is Shantina.
Hey, good morning. Get it off your chest.
So I work in the ER. I'm not a nurse nor a doctor. I'm just registration, but I work in the ER. So my opinion with the vaccines, when people get the vaccines, of course, we all know that they are not approved by the FDA nor Medicare.
I saw that.
So that means people are...
I saw that. I was wondering...
So that means when people are getting these vaccines later on down the line, insurance companies are going to ask you, did you ever get the vaccine? And that's going to give you a sticky situation. The Medicare, I mean, the insurance companies are going to decide if they're going to increase your premium or not cover you. And that's the same with Medicare, because all vaccines or medications has to be approved by the FDA and Medicare.
Well, let me ask you a question. I keep hearing people say the FDA didn't approve these vaccines, but is that true? Because how can they pause the vaccine if they didn't approve it?
Well, it's an emergency vaccine. So that's two different things. Emergency and approval is two different scenarios.
Oh.
So the FDA approved the vaccines because there's studies regarding it, like the flu shot, there's years of studies, which is vaccine is just a study. So, like, say, for instance, when you get 65 years old, Medicare asks you certain questions like, is the government paying you for a research program for a vaccine or medication? Well, you get that when you're 65. They should be asking us that now and paying us that now, but they're not.
So technically, this round of vaccines is all a bunch of guinea pigs.
But you know what? It does say, I looked it up, right? I went on the website, the FDA.gov. It says the FDA has authorized 3 COVID-19 vaccines for emergency use, right?
That's what she just said.
But only right. for emergency what does that mean? Use,
that
yeah.
means that she said it's for, it, right? it's for emergency use. But it's not approved.
Because you can't use it still in ages 12 to 15.
No,
they
it's not approved for ages 12 to 15. But
mm-hmm.
So if for emergency use, what does that mean? Because it's still approved, right?
It's an emergency.
I don't know. This is for the experts. That's exactly why I'm not taking that vaccine no time soon.
Hello, who's this?
This is Keith from Houston, man.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
So it's two things I want to get off my chest. First of all, Houston, man, we got to get it together. We don't work together as an artist. We don't do anything together like we're supposed to.
Houston?
There's only one radio station. I'm not going to say the name of the other one, but they've been Trader Truth.
Yes, we know that. The Box. The Box being Trader Truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Charlamagne, by the way. Charlamagne, by the way, I wanted to bring something up because 9 years ago you said something about Mr. C. And lately you've been past my butt cheeks, man. I don't understand exactly what's going on. But hey, you said Mr. C be free, Mr. C be free.
Passing out.
And you have been acting accordingly, sir.
I'm free.
You
I've been free.
Your butt cheeks.
We've been passing out butt cheeks. That sounds so crazy.
I have not passed out my butt cheeks,
sir. You get a butt cheek. You get a butt cheek.
Okay. I gave Envy a replica of some butt cheeks, but I haven't passed out mine.
You are the Oprah Winfrey of butt cheeks out here, man.
You are. Thank you, brother. You be safe out there. Get it off your
That's
chest.
That's funny as hell to say you the Oprah Winfrey of butt cheeks because you just think of a big O.
This guy's crazy. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Jamil calling from North Carolina.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Hey, man, I just wanted to spread a little bit of positivity this morning. That's all.
What you got? What you got?
I'm blessed, back, and highly favored, as my Uncle Charlie would always say.
There you go.
All right. I want to thank God for my life, health, and strength. I'm doing well today. I can't complain at all. My family's doing okay.
Okay.
And I just want to say that I'm praying for this country during this pandemic, the people that have lost their lives to COVID. The people that have lost their lives to police brutality, the people that have lost their lives to the mass shootings that have been going on these last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And this company, country needs a lot of healing, and the country needs for our officials to step up and do what they need to do in order to make things better.
Well, that ain't happening. You ain't even got.
I feel you on that one, Uncle Charlamagne.
Yeah, Rome has fallen, sir.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Karma calling from Atlanta.
Hey, Karma.
That's your real name?
Yeah, that's my real name.
Damn.
Hey, I just wanted to get off my chest. Charlamagne, you just really helped me. I just recently lost my dad, and I recently lost one of my little fur babies. And when you talk about mental health, it just made me realize that I actually have to take it into consideration. I suffer from anxiety. I already suffer from depression.
Mm.
And when just hearing about you talk about how you were able to just sit down with your therapist and just get it out the way and how you feel so much better, I actually decided to just take the first step. And I hear y'all talk about Talkspace so much, and I signed up. And
dope.
I'm trying so hard not to cry, but it's
no, cry. Feel your feels. Cry. Let it out. It's fine.
I just want to thank y'all because everything has been so difficult, and I'm trying to start my business, and I just feel like I have been at a roadblock. And it's just, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, we're sending you a lot of healing energy this morning. A lot of healing energy, man. And understand that's what life is about. You know, I always say I don't feel like there's anything is a good experience or a bad experience. It's just one long process. That's all life is, one long process. But I promise you will be fine when it's all said and done.
And just one more thing. Y'all are the best. Just keep doing what y'all doing. And I'm only 23, and y'all are inspiring every single day. So
wow.
I love you.
Love you, too.
So much.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Thank you.
She's 23. That means we've been on the radio since she was 13 years old.
That's right.
Lord have mercy.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up at any time. Now we got rumors on the way, Yee.
Yes, and let's talk about Bobby Brown. He is on Red Table Talk. The episode comes out today, and we'll tell you what the topic of discussion is.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Take it. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, next hour, the Lucas Brothers will be joining us.
Lucas Brothers. They wrote Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yep, co-wrote and co-produced Judas and the Black Messiah. They're twins. They're comedians. They wrote a bunch of things.
They have a special on Netflix.
Yeah, two talented individuals. I first met them back in the day when they were writing for Friends of the People.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll talk to them next hour. But let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Bobby Brown.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
You know, one thing people say a lot is, how does Bobby Brown deal with everything he's had to deal with all the tragedies in his family? Well, he's on Red Table Talk, and that episode is coming out today. It's been 5 months since the unexpected death of his 28-year-old son, Bobby Brown Jr. And in the upcoming episode, he's basically talking about addictions and controversies that have followed him for decades, the tragic death of his son, and who he thinks is responsible for the deaths of his ex-wife, Whitney Houston, and his daughter, Bobby Christina Brown, as well. Here is the teaser.
These kids today, they're mm-hmm. trying different things. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get as high as they can possibly get. Yeah. That's a real problem because they don't know what these drugs are being mixed with these days.
Right. There's been so many deaths specifically with fentanyl.
Mm. There's murderers out there right now that are creating these synthetic drugs that are killing these kids.
Yeah.
It's like they're committing murder.
Mm. Whew. Yeah, that's going to be a sad one to watch.
Yeah,
but
watch
it is,
that.
And the episode is entitled An Urgent Warning from Bobby Brown.
Yeah, I stand on the fact that, you know, the best messaging is just say no. And that right there is just another reason to just
Absolutely.
Say no. Like, they got GMO drugs. It's not the organic, holistic drugs that we grew up on, okay? And trust me, being able to go to, you know, facilities in other countries and do organic, pure drugs, that's a privilege. So I would encourage folks to, you know, get help with their addiction as opposed to encouraging them to find safe spaces to do things that we know is going to kill them here in America.
Just say no.
But we also know addiction is a disease, and we don't want to shame people who are struggling with addiction either. So.
I'm not. I just said we should encourage folks to get help with their addiction. That's what we should do. We should put more money into the treatment.
Right. You know, but Just Say No, that campaign's been around since before we were born, and clearly it's not working. So we got to make sure that there's all different avenues to get people help that they need.
I can't say it's not working.
I can't say it's not working.
I mean, because see, people are still using drugs. It's easy to tell people don't use drugs.
We have to continue saying don't use drugs. You can't say, hey, use drugs, but just make sure that... No, don't use drugs.
People used to say don't smoke weed. Now weed is legalized.
It is, but
it's
still
crazy.
A lot of people who don't smoke weed, G. It's like it's a lot of people who don't do drugs.
Right. But now weed is regulated, right? All right, now
I've
Will
never heard
Smith
weed killing
is...
anybody, have y'all? I never heard of somebody ODing on
Imagine
weed.
Imagine if you don't know
I've
what it's mixed
ma'am.
What you're getting straight off the street. That's right. Refer to me as ma'am from now on. Be respectful.
All right, ma'am.
Thank you. Y'all have no understanding of nothing that goes on.
No.
All right, now Will
no,
Smith.
Ma'am. No, ma'am.
Does it not like Georgia's controversial new voting laws, and Will Smith and Antoine Fuqua have pulled the production of their new movie Emancipation, and that's in response to those voting laws and voter suppression laws that are happening in Georgia. So they felt compelled to move their film production work from Georgia to another state. So they're the first company that has said, the first production that has said they're not going to do something in Georgia because of this. As you know, there's been talk of protesting. They said at this moment in time, the nation is coming to terms with its history and is attempting to eliminate vestiges of institutional racism to achieve true racial justice. We cannot, in good conscience, provide economic support to a government that enacts regressive voting laws that are designed to restrict voter access.
Mm.
So they're out of there.
That's a tough one.
All right, now,
That is a tough
one.
Because I know a lot of people that work on those movie sets, and even with the baseball, the major league, I know a lot of people that work on the stadium are our community, are black folks and minorities. So the fact that they pull them from there, are we really hurting ourselves? I don't think those big brands really care. They got enough money to survive. But what's really hurting is the fact that we can't work on those movie sets. We can't be runners. We can't do food. We can't be actors or actresses. Like, that hurts us a lot more, I think.
Yeah, I think I see what
you're
saying.
Well, you can in another city.
But it just won't be Atlanta people. It won't be Georgia people.
Right.
If they move to New York, it'll be New Yorkers working. It won't be Atlanta that needs it. You know what I mean? Where it's mostly minorities in Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't have any proof to back this up, but I do think it hurts us, you know, more than it hurts, you know, white people. Because there's a million other industries in Georgia. Film used to be the number two industry in Georgia. I don't know if it still is, but it's not like white folks are going to pull out. So it feel like we are the ones who end up losing jobs and opportunities, but I don't know.
All right, now let's talk about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Bel-Air is the new show, but it's not a reboot. During an exclusive interview with E! News, Alfonso Ribeiro describes the new series. He said it's in a reimagining of the original Fresh Prince. And he said the new series will be a whole new look at the idea. He said we sometimes throw a lot of things into one word, one concept. A reboot would be taking the actual show and characters and bringing it back. This is a totally different show. He said, for starters, it won't be a fun-loving family sitcom. Instead, it's a dramatized take on the story told in the iconic theme song from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He said it's based on the theme song. It's completely different.
So is it a prequel? Is it when Will was living in Philly and he was getting in trouble, which caused him to be shipped to Bel-Air in the first place?
Well, what he's saying is it's a whole new show and it's based on the theme song. So I don't know, but it's a drama. So it's not even a comedy and it's a whole different concept.
Yeah, because in the theme song, he was living in West Philadelphia. He got into a fight with some people. His mom got scared and shipped him off, which is actually dope, right? Because you would have to dig deeper. Because I'm like, just because of a fight, you got shipped off to Bel-Air. It had to be something really intense and serious to ship him all the way across the country.
Yeah, so it's basically his journey from the streets of West Philadelphia to the gated mansions of Bel-Air with a reimagined vision. They said it'll dive deeper into the inherent conflicts, emotions, and biases that were impossible to fully explore in a 30-minute sitcom format. Ready for that? All right, now DMX, his versus challenger Snoop Dogg was actually on Fallon and he was talking about some of his memories of DMX. He talks about meeting him back in 1994 before most of the world even knew who DMX was. And here's some of the stories that he told on Fallon.
At a concert, 94.
Yeah.
And then we went back to the studio after that. He brought up a story that was so deep and instrumental to our relationship. He was like, when he first met me, I was like away from him. And he was saying, what's happening? What's up? And I was like, get at me, dog. And he was like, I took that and I made that into my song, Get At Me, Dog. Because the way you got at me and said that, I was like, that's slick. So that night inspired him to create that song, Get At Me, Dog, which was one of his, you know, biggest hood records that he put out.
Now, of course, he told that story during Versus, so maybe people didn't catch that story, but always an interesting and good one. And thank God that Versus did go down because we had a chance to see DMX and Snoop together celebrating each other and with some good viral moments from that. Here's what he had to say about Versus.
It meant the world because it gave the world a chance to see two dogs that naturally loved each other, celebrating each other in the name of hip hop. You've seen a lot of interaction between me and him engaging in our songs. You seen a lot of conversations and a lot of love, and we had God in the building with us that night, and that makes me feel good about DMX's transition and know that he's off to a better place and he's finally got his angel wings.
Yeah, which is why I don't understand when people say DMX didn't get love and folks waited until he died to show him love. Absolutely, positively not. He was getting love before the Verses, but the Verses absolutely provided Earl Simmons with his flowers.
X always got love, 100%, and he definitely always got love up here. Absolutely.
And, right. and Drink Champs, he did Drink Champs this past February. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they definitely gave him his flowers on Drink Champs. So, yes, X got love.
Yeah, DMX was an icon living, okay?
That's a
so
fact.
I don't think that people didn't show him the proper respect. Everything that he was going through, I do feel like people were super supportive and had a lot of love for DMX because he had a lot of love for people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that is your rumor report.
All right, now we got front page news next. What are we talking about?
Well, let's talk about the police officer who shot and killed Dante Wright and has now resigned. We'll tell you what her statement said and what else is going on.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Mountain Dew is partnering with HBCUs in an effort to uplift the next generation of badass black innovators and entrepreneurs with the Real Change Opportunity Fund Pitch Competition, empowering students to go out and do. Visit MountainDew.com/realchange to enter.
Hey, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Let's get in some front page news. Where we starting, Yee?
All right, well, let's start with the officer who shot and killed Dante Wright and the Brooklyn Center police chief have both resigned. And this is in Minnesota. Police officer Kim Potter resigned from her position Tuesday after shooting and killing Dante Wright. We've been talking about this. You know, she was part of that police department for 26 years, a 26-year veteran. She submitted her resignation, effective immediately, wrote a letter to city officials. She said, "I have loved every minute of being a police officer and serving this community to the best of my ability, but I believe it is in the best interest of the community, the department, and my fellow officers if I resign immediately." The mayor said, "We did not ask her to resign. That was a decision that she made." And they also said later in the evening that they had not yet accepted her resignation. They said, "We're still working through our own processes and making sure that we take the steps that are necessary to accept the resignation. Let's just say my team is evaluating the current circumstances, which are very complex."
I don't get it. I need somebody way smarter than me to explain this to me. Can you just resign in the middle of what is supposed to be an investigation?
You can resign at any time, but I'm wondering if that resign gives her any benefits, meaning does she make sure she doesn't lose this? Does she automatically get this if she resigns during this? I'm just curious to why she resigns.
Yeah, that's what I would
so
like
fast.
To know. If you resign, hey, you still get your pension? Like, what does
right,
that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't understand this.
Well, you know, like they just said, they have not yet accepted her resignation. So we'll see what happens, you know, but that's the information that we have thus far.
Didn't the police chief resign too?
Yes, the police chief also resigned.
Why did the police chief resign?
Right? Listen, I don't...
Backlash
of him saying, automatically saying it was a mistake so quickly.
Nah, but what they are seeing...
Deeper than that, white men don't just resign when they're wrong.
Okay. He got that pension and he's old, bro. He's probably collecting his pension
you
now.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, you got mad cops resign last year when they said they didn't like the changes that were happening.
But why would he get fired? The police chief, why would the police chief get fired?
He didn't get fired.
But that's my point.
But why would he resign?
That's what I said. So if Dramos is saying he resigned to keep his pension, why would he have gotten fired to
no,
begin
I'm saying
with. He wasn't in the line of fire.
Like, why deal with this if I already
so
got
he
my
doesn't
pension?
Get fired.
If I already got my pension, why
but what
deal
would he
with
get fired for?
Because he didn't do the shooting. He didn't do anything. And yeah, he said it was a mistake, but she said it was a mistake.
Right. But I'm saying, why deal with the headache if you're older, you got your pension already, just retire.
Something deeper going on.
I'm with you.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is yet, though. Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah. But you know what? They were. So anyway, the Brooklyn Center City Council on Monday, they did vote to fire Potter and Police Chief Tim Gannon, but they both submitted letters of resignation on Tuesday.
Oh, OK. Well, that makes sense. So they voted to fire him. So they probably was going to get fired. OK, that makes sense.
Yeah. So there you have. Now, Dante Wright's father said that he cannot accept the cop defense for killing his son. Aubrey Wright said that this mistake just doesn't sound right.
Do you accept that explanation, Mr. Wright?
I cannot accept that. I lost my son. He's never coming back. I can't accept that a mistake that doesn't even sound right. You know, this officer that's been on the force for 26 years, I can't accept that.
I would like to see justice served and her held accountable for everything that she's taken from us.
Stop asking stupid questions to parents who have lost people. Do you accept that? Would you accept your child just being murdered? His son is dead. Who the hell do they think black people are? I sometimes wonder, do people understand what death is? When someone you love gets killed, don't ask me, do I accept that? Don't ask me, do I forgive the killer? Don't ask me to make peace with the killer. Let me feel this and go through whatever emotion I want to. Do I accept that? What kind of question is that to ask a parent who just lost a child?
Well, that was Robin Roberts on Good Morning America talking to, obviously, Aubrey Wright, who is Dante Wright's father, as well as Katie Wright. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes people ask a question to be able to hear the parents express how they're feeling.
But do you accept that? It's a parent who just lost a child. It got to be a better question than
that. I think the answer is pretty obvious
yes.
when you ask that. But it might be just asking that question to get people to understand the emotion that comes with it and hear that emotional response.
Well, ask me how I feel.
To humanize
what just
happened.
Ask me how I feel then. Ask me how I feel. Mm-hmm. I'd rather that.
All right.
You accept it.
Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Now, when we come back, we have the Lucas brothers joining us. Lucas Brothers are comedian, writers, producers. They just recently co-wrote and co-produced Judas and the Black Messiah. So we're going to kick it with them when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests with us today.
That's right.
We got the Lucas Brothers. Welcome.
Yo, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm glad to see y'all still looking very militant, even though y'all nominated for an Oscar.
You know, okay? We can't change it up too much. No, we can't.
If y'all don't dress like this at the Oscars, I'm going to be disappointed.
All right. I think they're forcing us to wear tuxedos, man.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we might keep our military jackets over the tuxedos.
Yeah, that's right. Gotcha.
Which one is Kenny? Which one is Keith?
I'm Kenny.
Okay.
And maybe I'm Keith. Yeah.
Let's go back for people that don't know who the Lucas Brothers are. I know you guys are from Newark, New Jersey. So explain your journey.
Man, it's been crazy. So we're born September
13th, 1985
at UMDNJ. Virgo! Newark, New Jersey, during the height of the crack epidemic. Right. And, you know, it was a turbulent upbringing. Yeah. Drug war, drugs,
shootings, killings, murders, all that
in the 80s, 90s.
Stealing cars.
Stealing
in Newark was crazy.
We were the carjacking capital of the universe, you know what I mean?
So, what was that movie? New Jersey Drive.
Film in Newark, yes. You know? It made people mad, you know, but it was still the only representation of Newark. Right. So our father went to prison when we were like 6 or 7. He was like caught up in that gang shit and, you know, doing what he had to do to survive, got caught. And so we kind of grew up, well, not kind of, but single mom, you know, shit like that. Poverty, moving from like different places and, you know, seeing that we probably shouldn't have seen when we were like kids.
When we were kids. It was wild. I struggled in high school. You didn't really struggle in high school.
No, I was pretty good.
He was a pretty good student.
Now, wait a minute. See, now, there's no way I got an identical twin and I'm struggling.
That was the problem.
Like, you could just be like, yo, bro, take my testimony. The teachers ain't going to know.
The thing is, we hadn't seen Sister yet, so we didn't have like a sitcom play that we could do. So I was just like beast in class, mm-hmm. and he was struggling. I was like, dude,
I was struggling so much and he was doing so well. I was like, I got to turn this shit around because mm-hmm. like it's on me. So right around my sophomore year, I started to like shift and start studying hard. And we were able to get into college by the grace of God. And we studied philosophy in college. Mm-hmm. And We thought we were going to get our PhDs in philosophy. Like, we were convinced that that's what we wanted to do.
Right.
You guys had the same major?
Same major.
And that's interesting because you said your dad studied philosophy in prison, right?
Yeah, that's made up.
Everybody studies philosophy in prison. All right?
All philosophers.
Everyone's a hood philosopher in prison.
Right. Go ahead.
So we studied philosophy. We were going to go to get our PhDs, but we, you know, we needed money, man. Like, right. We were broke as like, I mean, philosophers don't make that much money. Nah. And then they were telling us, like, graduate school for philosophy is tough. It's hard to find a job.
It takes, like, 8 years. I'm like, 8 years for philosophy? That's crazy.
Some philosophers do make money.
Some philosophers
Derek Jackson made a lot of money.
Right.
Until he didn't.
Okay. Right.
And Cornel West, you know, he's a brilliant philosopher.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, he's made a huge name for himself. So it could have been done, but we're not Cornel West. So,
right.
We thought maybe we can do something a bit more practical. So we went to law school.
Right.
I went to Duke. He went to NYU.
Yeah.
He wasn't passionate at all about it. I thought that I really wanted to be a lawyer,
right.
But it just didn't work out.
Yeah, and then right around that time in law school, I started experimenting with drugs. Mm-hmm. Like, I started smoking. I started doing Adderall. I was drinking, and, like, I was starting to, like, because the stress of law school, I never felt anything like that before. Mm-hmm. And I'm from Newark. I've seen
That's
violence. I've seen, like, people using drugs. Never wanted to touch a drug.
Right.
Then I get to law school. I'm like, damn, I can't take this exam.
Have you ever?
But didn't you do 3 years of law school?
3 years.
Right? Like,
we were
and so
almost,
y'all almost finished.
We were almost finished. We did like with 2 years and like 98% of our third year.
Right.
We had about 2 weeks left before our exams, and we were like, it, man. Let's go do stand up.
I want to go back to the law school thing. Have you ever unpacked that? Because you came up in the hood, so that seems so normal.
Was it the fact
that when you was in law school, you was like fish out of water, kind of?
That's exactly
sort
what.
Of,
yeah,
sort
that's
of
exactly
sure.
what it is. It felt like Alice in Wonderland. Like, I had never seen people use drugs so openly from like privilege.
Right? And it's got to fuck with you as a black man, right? Because you see people in the hood, they're usually leaning on drugs for trauma reasons, right?
Exactly.
Right. And y'all like, y'all doing this shit for fun? And not going to jail, boy?
Exactly, dude. It, like, it blew our minds.
Right.
Like,
right.
How can they, especially at law school, you know, these guys are the people who are going to be writing policy and laws.
Right.
And they're breaking the rules. And these policies are going to affect, you know, black people. So it was like a weird sort of situation where you're like, how can I study this and know that these people are going to write these laws that affect my people, but they don't even care about the rules of the law. So,
now, it was so now,
bizarre.
Let's get back to it. So y'all decided not to finish law school,
right.
Say F this and stand up and let's do comedy.
Yeah. Right.
Were y'all working
on
comedy, or did some family member say y'all funny? Y'all like, let's
go. Nobody in our family said we're funny. They don't think that we're that funny.
I think it was just like, I did some stand up in New York. I went to like a club. I did a club and it was just, I sucked, but I liked it.
Like, but what makes you do that? But like, you know what? Let me try comedy.
I was losing my mind. I think I was losing my mind. Like, I was literally like, drinking, doing drugs. I was like, "Fuck it, man! I'm not gonna do this law school shit anymore." And I was just losing. I was breaking up with my girlfriend at the time.
Well, she was breaking up.
She was breaking up with me at the time. And I was just like, I was on one, man. Like, it was crazy. But I was on stage, and that was the only time I felt normal. Like,
and you went to his first show.
He sent me a clip of his.
Oh, you didn't even
show.
Go. You didn't even.
I was in North Carolina. He was in New York.
Right.
So he
right.
sent me a clip of the first show, and I was like, "Yo, this is terrible.
Right.
One of the worst sets I've ever seen." And I thought that I knew he was having like a crisis of mental health, and I was like, "Dude, man, like just do it a few more times, right. But you know, get back to the books because this ain't it."
Yeah.
But he kept with it. Like, he still kept going to the open mics,
right.
And he still kept trying to get better at it. So after like a couple weeks, he called me again and was like, "Yo, I think we need to quit law school. I think we need to go." He said, "We." And I was like, "You're crazy." I want to be a lawyer. I then put 3 years into this. I'm not going to just drop it for comedy. But he was very persuasive, and then that's when I had that moment of clarity. Like, "F*** it, man, let's just do it. Let's try it."
So he would have been a good lawyer because he persuaded you.
That's what I say. I used my 3 years of legal education just to convince him to drop out of law school.
So now, what did your mom say? Your mom, you know, struggled to get you in good schools, mm-hmm. worked hard for you.
Yeah.
She's so excited. My boy's about to be attorneys, and you're like, "Mom, now we dropping out. We're gonna be comedians." What would the mom?
I mean, she thought we were losing our minds. I mean, she knows like our whole story, so she's familiar with our father not being there. She's familiar with the drugs. So she's like, you know, maybe you guys should go to therapy or something like that. Make sure you think about what you're doing before you're doing it. Just being a mom. But eventually, when she saw that we were serious about it,
right,
and we were
and
making
that it made us happy, she was completely on board.
Right.
My dad, you know, he thought that he was gonna get some free legal advice.
Right.
So you know, once we dropped out, he got a little upset. But he's been super supportive.
I love how you said my mom knows our whole story. I like people like my mom is my day one. Oh really?
I mean, we can't lie to her. Like, you know what I mean? You can lie to pretty much anyone else.
Not your mom.
You can't lie to your mom. She just sees right through that.
All right, we got more with the Lucas Brothers when we come back. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with the Lucas Brothers. Charlamagne?
Do you think censorship or this woke culture that we're in right now, is that going to dilute the art?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I think that it's going to make us even more, what's the word I'm looking for? Make us like...
I think
creative.
I think creative.
You have to be like... creative. You have to be a little bit more considerate of... Because I think about, there was a period when blackface was like, the top style of comedy. Right. And people were like, you can't do blackface anymore. I'm sure the people who were doing blackface were like, this is ruining comedy. This is hurting the purity. But it's like, no, you just have to, you know, adjust and make better comedy. I think that's how evolution works. It's like, you just have to, if people are like, hey, don't make fun of trans or don't make fun of gays. And now we can't do those things. I think it makes our comedy fresher. I think it makes it purer because now you're no longer punching down.
You gotta be a bit more inventive. You gotta just be a bit more creative and clever.
But does it really reflect reality? Meaning like art should get a certain type of license to reflect reality.
Sure.
Right? If you're not able to reflect reality without people offending, people saying, oh, that shouldn't be in a movie. It's offensive. Like, but it's a movie. I'm trying to tell a story here.
Right. No, I see what you're saying. I guess I just think like, it's not just about, you know, telling the freest form of comedy, but there's also like a moral and social component to the comedy that we do.
Right.
Again, you can choose to be offensive. You can choose to say whatever you want, but you have to be prepared for
the backlash.
You know what I mean? You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but for us, it's like, you still got to take risk. But
you got to.
You have to. I mean, that's art. Art is risk-taking.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are doing a remake of Revenge of the Nerds, I heard, with Seth MacFarlane.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That movie would be considered problematic, toxic, reinforcing rape culture.
I mean, it was problematic, you know, in the 90s.
Yeah. We didn't notice.
Right.
Right. How do you remake that for this era?
You know, times have changed. I feel like we have an opportunity to comment on the film in the 80s.
Right.
You know, I think that like they did in 22 Jump Street or 21 Jump Street.
Right.
They took an approach where it allowed for them to, you know, create a new story, but also comment on the past. And I think that's what we want to do.
Because see, that's my thing. Nobody's acknowledging the shift in culture.
Right.
There was a shift in culture. The stuff that you used to could have get away with in music, movies, whatever. Right. You just can't anymore. But we haven't acknowledged that.
Yeah.
It's almost like we just started handing out retroactive speeding tickets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's weird. I think there's been a shift in a number of things. I feel like there's been a shift in science. Mm-hmm. We've gone from, you know, straight Einstein sort of relativity to sort of a quantum sort of perspective of science. And I think that that's reflective of in the internet where everyone has a point of view and everyone feels like their reality is real. Like everyone says, we're speaking our truth. Everyone's truth is sort of legit, I mean, even if it contradicts someone else's reality. And that's quantum shit, you know what I mean? Like everyone's perspective is legitimate.
Even flat earthers?
Even flat earthers. Like if they believe it, why is it not? Mm-hmm. You know, like they truly believe it's true.
And even if you put forth evidence that, you know, their beliefs are erroneous, they're still going to believe what they want to believe.
Right.
So you're putting yourself at a disadvantage trying to use reason to a person that doesn't even use reason.
Right.
What do you think about putting the disclaimers? You know how they've been putting disclaimers like on movies and TV shows just to give people like, okay, this was filmed during this time.
I mean, I think that that's a more effective approach than just completely banning something. I mean, I think that maybe that works. But again, I think we're assuming that audiences aren't intelligent. We're assuming that they can't differentiate between what's offensive and what's not offensive. And then you're going to have a small minority of people who go online and say, take this down. But I think what's happening now is people are being very reactive to those minority voices.
Yes.
And I feel like eventually, hopefully, that there'll be like a leveling out where we're like, okay, maybe we shouldn't be that reactionary. Maybe we should have some sort of due process in assessing what we do with a particular piece of art.
Because it's a very slippery slope. Like I even saw what they did with a YG this weekend with the Meet the Fockers record, right? And I think they took it down, but then they put it back because they said if we take this down, then we're going to have to do this all across the board. Yeah, right. There's so many things people could be offended by. Like, it's like, you can't go down that road when it comes to art.
I think we need to make a distinction between offense and harm, right? Like, I think we need to, I think when we're assessing how we limit someone's liberty, like, is that exercise of liberty harming a person or is it offending a person? If it's harming, then I think we can take a more proactive approach to the piece of art and maybe say, hey, maybe we should consider taking it down. Mm-hmm. If it's just offending someone, like, I think you have a right to be offended. I'm saying I don't think that that offense should equate to completely eliminating a work of art. I think we have to be able to process offense and have honest conversations about that which offends.
Right.
But I think that shouldn't result in, you know, a boycott of someone's work of art that they've put years into. Like, if it's harmful, if it's causing violence, if it's like causing like blatant racism, then you got like blackface, for example, that was harmful to black people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like Birth of a Nation was directly harmful to black people. So it should be removed. I mean, I don't think that that's a problem. Yeah. I don't have an issue with that. But if it's just offensive, I'm like, we got to have thicker skin.
Now don't move. We got more with the Lucas Brothers. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with the Lucas Brothers. Charlamagne?
Judas and the Black Messiah. Well, first of all, y'all have done a lot more than Judas and the Black Messiah. I remember y'all from Friends of the People.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You, Little Rel.
Kevin Barnett.
God Bless the Dead. Yeah. Who else was on that? Jermaine Fowler.
Right. Josh Rabinowitz. Jennifer Bartels.
Like, if you think about it now, that show should have been a hit.
It should have been, but you know, sometimes things fail to launch. I mean, you think about OKC, the Thunder, they had all the talent in the world, but they couldn't get a championship.
I don't even remember what network that was. What network?
True TV.
Yeah. How you go from God True TV to Oscar nominated?
It's
a God rest his soul.
Oh, is this still here? No, True TV still here.
Oh, my bad.
True TV still.
I meant to say FOTP, God rest his
soul. How do y'all go from that to Oscar nominated? What are the steps? What's the process?
It's a grind, man. Like, it was crazy for us because, like, we were going nowhere fast. The sketch show gets canceled, and we were like, let's just go to
Lucas Bros Moving Co.
gets canceled. Like, so we got two cancellations under our belt. We're 5 years in. We're like, so we escaped from New York in humiliation in our minds, and we go to LA, and we're like, all right, we're going to figure this out here. We're going to, you know, we're going to figure out our act. We're going to write some
But before we went to LA, we were already like, thinking about Judas, you know, we were already
sort
of brainstorming like some of the beats of the story.
Right.
Or we were just doing a lot of research around 2012, 2013.
Right.
We started doing a ton of research about Hampton. We didn't know how to turn it into a film, but we knew like this is something that we would like to potentially turn into a film. So we went to LA with the goal in mind of either getting a script deal to write Judas or to sell the pitch somewhere. We had ambitions going into Cali.
Right.
But we were still so focused on comedy that it was sort of like a balancing act trying to get Judas made, but also trying to, like, you know, get our comedy career, you know, back on the right track.
So we're in L.A. We're pitching the story around town, getting no traction. Mm-hmm. People are like, this doesn't make any sense. It's not going to make any money. It's not. It's a period piece about a black revolutionary socialism. What are you guys, crazy? And we're like, yeah, all right. it. I guess maybe we are crazy. So we kind of went away from the material for a bit. Went back to comedy. We were doing this pilot with FX, Killer Mike. It was for him, and that eventually went to Netflix. It didn't go to FX.
Trigger Warner.
So we did the pilot for Trigger Warner for FX, and Shaka King was directing it, and that's how we met Shaka. And we knew that after we got rejected from all of our pitches, we were like, I think we need to work with a filmmaker who can take this idea and make it into a film. And so that's when we got to reach out to Shaka.
And then we hung out with Shaka in our apartment in Hollywood, listening to music, just vibing on cinema. And we sort of pitched him our idea, and he said it was f-ing great. And we started to develop a beefier outline. Mm-hmm. And then, but simultaneously, Will Burson, the other co-writer and Oscar nominee, was working on his own script. And Jermaine Fowler, our boy from FOTP, He
made the connection. He knew Will. He knew that we were working on our thing, and he just brought us all together. We used our story outline that we worked on with Shaka, and so Shaka and Will went together and basically rewrote Will's script using our story outline.
Right.
And they wrote a brilliant script, and they sent it to Ryan Coogler.
Right.
We didn't know that Shaka knew Ryan Coogler, but once Ryan got it, that's when things started to, like, pickup because he loved the script. Mm-hmm. And he definitely wanted to make it. He wanted that to be his first project for on his new production company, Proximity.
Right.
And so things just started to get crazy.
Yeah, at first it was like we were nowhere. And then Shaka, Will, Ryan, Charles. I'm like, what? How did all in a year that just started happening? We were like, what the? And then we went out with, the script with Macro, with Ryan, with Shaka, with Will and us.
Macro financing half.
Macro financing half.
And the white man still said no.
We said we'll put up half the money.
We're thinking it's going to be a bidding war. We think that, this thing, we got Kaluuya, we got Lakeith, we have our stars, we have a brilliant script, we have these great producers, and still, it's a f***ing struggle in Hollywood.
Think about that. All of that already attached.
Right.
Stars, Daniel, Lakeith, Ryan,
money,
Shaka, Macro, half the money, Lucas Brothers, and the white man like, no.
And I don't think people realize how hard it is to get a movie made.
Right.
And especially when you have a dream team like that and you still can't get traction. Like, that's how hard it is.
And this Ryan after Black Panther.
This is Lord have mercy. Billionaire Black Panther, the hottest producer in the game, and still. But fortunately enough, Warner Bros, they put up half the money and they wanted to distribute it. They loved the script.
Right. And they let us shoot it. Greenlit it. They let us shoot it. And it just came out as perfect as I thought it could come
out. Why did Warner Brothers get it? I need white people to understand how clueless they can be. So I want to know, why did Warner Brothers get it over every other? Was it a black exec at Warner Brothers?
Nigel. Black execs. I mean, they get it. So Nigel really, she was the key.
What's her last name?
How do you pronounce her last name?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Well, salute to you, Naja.
Kuykendall, I think. I may have mispronounced that. But she's a brilliant executive. And she was the one who she saw the importance of the film.
Right.
She loved the script. And she was the one who sort of just powered it through.
Right. Salute to Naja.
For real.
That's why diversity matters.
That's why it matters.
Yep.
That's exactly why it matters. Because you're telling these stories, and if you're sitting across from a group of white people, they just don't even hear it. They don't know the language. They don't know why it matters.
This is how we had to describe Fred Hampton to white people. We're like, Fred Hampton is the Velvet Underground of civil rights leaders. We thought perhaps that they'll see the connection. They did.
It was like, how many white executives probably like, okay, Ryan Coogler's coming here to talk about doing Black Panther work. Another Black Panther, really?
That's a billion dollars.
That was at Marvel, but maybe we could probably try to finesse around it, I guess.
Now, I see you tweeted, if you guys win Oscars, you are retiring from stand-up and you're cutting off half your family.
Yeah, so, man.
But we were going to do that before.
We got to figure out how do we figure out who we're going to cut off?
Yeah. Well, what family members you cutting off?
Oh, man. Just the ones who haven't talked to me in years and hit me up for money. the ones who didn't know I existed. I'm your cousin from your father's side. Can you let me borrow $300? Man.
You get that.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. It's uncomfortable.
Right.
Cause they think you got money cause you got an Oscar nomination. Mm-hmm. You don't get paid for this. You gotta pay your way for all this you don't get extra money for an Oscar nomination. It's expensive.
Were you close with your dad while he was in jail? Were you close with your dad?
We were close at first. We went to go visit him a bunch, and then we moved to North Carolina. Our mom remarried, so we sort of became distant. We grew a little distant because we couldn't visit him as much, and we weren't really calling him. And that was that must have been 5 to 6 years. And then once he got out, we started to work on our relationship. But it was a lot to unpack. I mean,
yeah.
As we got older, we started to feel the ramifications of not growing up with a father. But more importantly,
a lot of anger.
The ramifications of growing up with a father who went to prison. So it's you just have rage. You hate the law. You hate the government. You hate all that shit. And you're trying to figure out ways to cope. And it was tough. It's still tough sometimes to speak with our dad because of so much. We missed out on so much, what I mean? And you can never forget how much you missed out on.
Right. Even to this day, I go to the park and I see a dad throwing the ball with their son and I tear up a little bit. I'm like, man, I wish I had that. It kind of sucks to know that. It's sad, man.
I don't know if y'all joking.
Why are you laughing? Why did he just laugh?
No.
That was crazy.
No. And the way he said it, man.
I felt the same. I'm speaking my emotion right now,
man. It's the way he said it.
You never addressed it.
I'm with you, my brother.
That is so real. Okay, continue. You tear up when you see it.
I tear up when I see father and sons, man. I can't even, scroll on Instagram when I see people saying, I'm like, girl, it just,
It hurts.
You want to play catch now?
Mm-hmm. Yo, shut up. Yo, shut up. This guy's
an ass. I mean, look, man, you want to go play for catch now? You might be able to make up for, you know, this situation.
I do have one final question. Yeah. How do y'all maintain your own identity as twins?
Like, oh, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
We don't.
No, you know, what's crazy is that for a while we tried to, like, establish our own identity.
Right.
And just like, I want to be Keith. He wants to be Kenny. We went to law school. We were just trying to do our own thing. And we just had a breakdown. And I think we realized, like, we're just stronger together.
Right.
And why do you need an individual identity? Like, why do we emphasize that so much? Like, why is that such a thing that we place an importance on?
It's supposed to be normal. Like, normal, right. Normal is being a singleton and being an individual. And I think that's why people get so stressed out. Why is that normal, but everyone's like has a desire to get married? So that, or we have a desire to have a family, or we have, so there's this notion that the individual is supreme, but we rush to these group identities so quickly. We have sports teams, we have our family, we have, you know,
religion,
political any sort of political party. We rush to these
fraternities, like, sororities.
Exactly. So I think we have to readjust how we see what normal is. It's not necessarily about the individual. It's not necessarily about, you know, willing yourself to greatness. It's really a community type thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that he and I kind of see that, and we're like, we have a group identity.
Right. And we just so happen to look exactly alike. Right. So we're a group, but a group nonetheless.
Well, I hope y'all win the Oscar, man.
Yeah. Man, you know,
I think y'all going to give a phenomenal speech. I really do. I really think y'all going to give a great speech. And I want to see y'all up there with the military jacket.
Oh, my God.
The military jacket and the tuxedo.
At least the pins. You got to have the pins or something.
I think we'll keep our pins on.
I'll keep the free hoodie.
Thank you, brothers, for joining us.
Oh, thank you guys for having us, man.
It's the Lucas Brothers. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's
time. She's spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Oh. On the Breakfast Club.
All right, so Quando Rondo dropped part two of our interview sit down that we did last month. And in part two, and by the way, I just want to say understandment is a word, because I know people were quoting that word. It's a mixture of understanding and agreement.
That
if you look in the Urban Dictionary.
Stop it.
It is now. And so one of the things that he talks about was his best friend, Lil Tim, getting shot the night that they were in the parking lot.
I look up and I see my partner on the ground. He got shot four times. And a couple months before that, with a couple incidents happened in my hometown, he'd been shot five times.
What happened?
So what he was telling me... What he was telling me was a lot of people didn't know that when Lil Tim got shot in the parking lot that night when King Von was unfortunately tragically killed, people didn't know that he already had just recently been shot just a couple of months prior to this. Mm-hmm. So that, like I was saying earlier, there's been a lot of incidents that have been going on. He said the only reason this one obviously is popular is because of who was involved and because it was on video. And so a lot of people don't know what happens behind the scenes.
Did he say he got shot 9 times in 5 months? Was that
Yeah.
true? If you've been shot 9 times in 5 months, you need to give your life to God, okay? That means you never get a chance to heal from any gunshot wounds. 9 times in 5 months?
And then he was in jail. He's been in jail, and, you know, he's home now, but he was in jail after he got shot. So he was going through a lot while he was locked up also, you know, having gotten shot. Now, there was also a rumor, and people were saying that Quando Rondo, it looked like on the video, he tried to take King Von's chain. Here's what he had to say about that. And there were other shootings going on in that parking lot.
Ma'am, there was so many people shooting, ma'am. If you was there, you would be hurt from everything that's going on because nobody really know. Mm-hmm. I see my partner shot up. Like, a lot of people saying that I was trying to take bro chain. Like, ma'am, when they come to jewelry, ma'am, a $50,000, $60,000 chain, ma'am, like, a nigga can go buy that.
Ma'am.
he did call me ma'am about 900 times during the course of the interview.
Listen, this is why I don't mind young nigga business. I stay out of these young niggas' way. You feel me? I'm 42 years old. I am a sir. When you are a sir or a ma'am, you have to carry yourself as such.
All right. Well, anyway, he wanted to clear up that rumor because he was saying that he definitely was not trying to take anybody's chain in the incident. And he also said, now this was interesting, that in that parking lot, he didn't even know that it was King Von until the next day.
I never in life, ma'am, never in life had words with them ever.
And you, at this point, didn't know who it was either.
Ma'am, I didn't know this was him. Ma'am, I swear to God, on my soul, ma'am. Like, ma'am, this is on neighborhood crip, ma'am. I did not know that was him till the next day.
So wait a minute. When they got into the fight, he didn't know. Never mind. I'm keeping my mind. I don't
know. Boy, stay out of young nigga business.
You're right.
What's wrong with you?
You're right.
Well, you know, if you hear like the course of the whole interview is what he's saying is he takes lean every day. He was sleeping in the car before the incident happened and he wasn't even trying to go to the club. So he was, while his friends were inside, he was staying in the car. He remained in the car because he hadn't planned to go there. He just wanted to stay in the car. Lil Tim said, I'm going to stay outside with you. And
listen,
just roll
ma'am.
Up. He didn't want to leave him.
Ma'am, we don't need no explanation, ma'am.
When is the Earth,
well,
Wind
I'm just trying to make sure you guys.
what are they doing part two of that versus? What is SWV and Escape going to do that?
Oh, yes.
What y'all got me in.
But, you know, he's going through
red?
Some real
messing with y'all,
PTSD. Man. Like, he's had people come into the house to speak to him. It's a lot, you know, for him to have witnessed and gone through. So
I believe
he wanted
it.
To tell his side of the story because there's a lot of people saying things that he feels like aren't true. So he wanted to tell from his side because he was there. So this is what he's saying. And right now we just know his side of what happened.
Ma'am, is
I feel like praying,
verses,
ma'am.
I ain't messing with y'all.
I feel like praying, ma'am. I need to sage myself, ma'am. Okay?
Yeah, so that is your rumor report.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, man.
I stay out of young nigga business. Okay? That's my advice for all of y'all out there. Okay?
Yeah, I just pray.
I think if we care about people's lives, and I don't think that he wants anything to happen. So that's the whole point of this, right?
Yeah,
like we don't want to see more people get. We don't want to see more people get killed.
They do diss records like
this.
There's a whole lot going on. It is they do diss records against each other. It's like, hey, Rana is.
I just told y'all.
Earth, Wind, and Fire part
young,
two. I need to see that, man.
Okay.
Well, sir, who are you giving your donkey to?
Well, sir, no, ma'am. Okay. There's a dude named Kevin Van Loven. And Envy, I have a feeling that you are going to love this story because it's about one of your favorite things, Elmo.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I'm looking at you different after this story, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Donkey, today's up next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Angela here, and the General Insurance has been helping people save money for nearly 60 years. They offer the quality coverage you deserve at prices you can afford. Make the right call and go with the General. Call 800-GENERAL or visit thegeneral.com.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey, hee-haw, okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, April 14th, goes to a home inspector in Michigan named Kevin Wayne Van Loven. What a name, Van Loven. If this guy doesn't own a 1992 Ford Econoline, I would be disappointed. Okay, at least a 1997 Plymouth Voyager, maybe a Volkswagen Eurovan, maybe. Moral of the story is he should drive nothing but vans. When your last name is Van Loven, you only have one vehicle of choice, and the license plate of that vehicle has to say Van Loven. Sneakers, too. Okay, when your last name is Van Loven, you can only wear Vans, the old school black and white ones with the jazz stripe. Now, some would say that if you drive a van and wear Vans, that's the child sex offender starter kit. I'm just saying, if you profile pedophiles, this kind of fits the description, but maybe I'm making all this up. This is probably a personal bias that I'm projecting, so never mind me. But back to Mr. Van Loven. Now, Mr. Van Loven is a home inspector, and he was inspecting the home of a 22-year-old woman in Oxford Township. He was inspecting the property before a sale. Well, something in that house turned Kevin Van Loven on. I don't know what type of aphrodisiac he used before he inspected that house. Maybe he ate some chocolate, maybe some figs, some oysters. Asparagus, maybe. Something increased his libido, his sexual function. Something got him so hot and bothered in that house that he had to pleasure himself right then and there. Let's go to WJBK Fox 2 Detroit for the report, please.
Before selling, an Oxford Township couple let this man into their home on Gill Street for a routine inspection. They left, never suspecting the 59-year-old man would allegedly fulfill his sexual urges with their child's Elmo doll. A disturbing sexual act revealed when movement in the child's room triggered the nursery camera. The image shows when Kevin Van Loven picked up the Tickle Me Elmo doll. The homeowner shocked when she was alerted on her cell phone. After hitting record, she immediately contacted the Oakland County Sheriff's Office.
Our deputies confronted him, and initially he denied it, and then they told him it was on video, and then he apologized.
He's been charged with aggravated indecent exposure and a misdemeanor charge of malicious destruction of property. But perhaps what's even more disgusting, after abusing the doll, Van Loven put it back.
I never thought I would find someone who loves Elmo more than Rashawn Casey, a.k.a. DJ Envy. I have so many questions. I know people say we shouldn't kink shame. We shouldn't shame people for what they are into sexually, but that's BS. Okay, that's from 2021. I've been woke too long and I need some sleep because I'm not thinking straight when I'm sleepy rhetoric. Okay, if I can't shame Kevin Van Loven for this, then the word shame needs to be abolished altogether. Now, can I try to understand Kevin Van Loven? Sure. Let's unpack this. How many times has Kevin Wayne Van Loven sat his ass in front of the TV and masturbated to Sesame Street? I wonder. I also wonder if he sat down with a therapist or psychiatrist, could he or she bring this back to something that happened in his childhood? I mean, it's Elmo, as in tickle me Elmo, right? And tickling equals flirting. I read somewhere, and by somewhere I mean Google, that from adolescence on, you're roughly 7 times more likely to be tickled by somebody of the opposite sex. And the most common reason to tickle is to show affection. So maybe when he was a baby, as in a young lad, he got tickled a lot, and the thought of tickling turns him on. I don't know. Okay, so when you're a creature that is the symbol of tickling, maybe when you see that, you get turned on, when you see that symbol of tickling that is Elmo. A lot of people don't like tickling, but tickling is a physical expression of love. So maybe, just maybe, he saw Elmo and he wanted to show his love. Some people do tickle fights as foreplay. People stage tickle fights in the bedroom. Nothing I'm saying makes sense, does it? Of course not. Okay? God may not make mistakes, but humans do. But I hear stories like Kevin Van Loven, and I know they say don't question God, but sometimes you have to recognize that God didn't give you the same brains he gave everybody else. Okay, there was certain periods in time that God was just creating anybody and anything. All right, Genesis 1:26 says God created man in his image according to his likeness, right? Well, humans, sometimes we just like to try things. Throw it against the wall to see what sticks. I think God did that when he was creating some humans. Some humans he just created with his eyes closed. Kevin Van Loven might have been one of them. Okay, God made him and forgot about him, so then Mr. Van Loven all these years has been left to his own devices, wandering around life aimlessly by himself without God's guidance, only to end up on Sesame Street masturbating next to Oscar the Grouch's trash can while Elmo just minding his business performing Elmo's song. Hit that tune for me, Dramos.
This is the song, la la.
Come on
la,
now.
Elmo's song. La 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 la.
Kevin Van Loven is somewhere hot and bothered right now.
Oh.
To think he wrote this alone.
Oh.
La, 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 la,
that's what does it for Kevin Van Loven.
Catchy.
Oh.
He loves
okay, enough, la, enough. La, la. Enough. Okay. Kevin Van Loven is reinforcing all the pedophile stereotypes. I told you driving a van and wearing vans is the sex offender starter kit. You know how many people Chris Hansen caught who fit that profile? And this guy, Kevin Van Loven, okay, you got caught sexually assaulting an Elmo doll in a nursery. That sounds pretty pedophile to me, okay? Elmo is 3.5 years old. Do you know that? 3.5 years old, you sick bastard. This is what Kevin Van Loven hears when drunk in love, please.
I'm swerving on that, swerving on that. Big body been serving all this, surfing all and it's good.
Please give Kevin Van Loven. Let Remy Ma give Kevin Van Loven the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. You stupid motherfucker, are you dumb?
Do it, Envy. Oh, you don't want to do the voice today, huh? You don't want to play Elmo today, do you?
I was going to say, well, I'm just curious. You want to play a game?
You want to play a game? Only if you do the voice. Ask me in the voice.
You want to play a game?
Yes, I do. Let's play a game of...
Guess what race he is!
Kevin Van Loven, Michigan home inspector, walked into a nursery in a home, saw a Tickle Me Elmo doll, and had his way sexually with it. Guess what race he is? Angela Yee, start with you.
I'll say Caucasian.
Okay. What makes you say this with such confidence?
I don't know. It's just what I want it to be.
Okay. Rashawn, I want you to do. I need you to answer in the voice the whole time, okay?
Okay.
Kevin Van Loven.
Yes.
From Michigan, home inspector. You're very familiar with home inspectors, right? He was in a home inspecting. He was in a nursery, saw an Elmo doll, had his way with the Elmo doll sexually. Guess what race he is?
Let me check. White.
What the hell did you bend over like that for? What the hell were you checking? Looked like you wanted somebody to check you. What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Put his mugshot up. Oh, we're not on Revolt. Are we on Revolt? We're on Revolt.
Tomorrow,
later.
I guess.
You both are right. This is absolutely a colonizer. Okay? This is the highest levels of Caucasianery. Okay, the mayonnaise is very heavy in this story.
Man.
All right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for that talk.
You got to register as a sex offender when you do stuff like this? If you're Kevin Van Loven?
Oh, I think it's my Envy.
Oh.
I'm sure that guy asked. Well, no, he probably did. It's a doll. It's a doll. So I don't think so. All right. Anyway.
Creepy.
Ask Ye is next. 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, call Ye now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Come on. Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
Oh, yeah, this is Ashley.
Ashley.
You know what I'm from Jersey.
Good morning. What's your question for Ye?
I just want to know what I should do about my relationship. Right now, I'm going back and forth. You know, I'm break up with my girl. She break up with me. You know, we both love each other. We're supposed to be getting married. But, you know, we never really break up within 24 hours, you know, because we live together, you know. So recently we just broke up, and I feel as though is that, you know, October our lease is up. should I just go keep going back and forth, you know? But I really love her. I just don't know what to do, you know?
What do y'all keep breaking up over?
It's like, I would say it's miscommunication. A lot of miscommunication. One minute, it's like, it feels like I'm coming off a little bit strong. But when I calm that down, you know, and realize it is miscommunication, I'll talk to her right, but then she's already in the mindset, as in, you know, I'm gonna come off strong. It's already in her head that it's gonna be an argument at the end of the day, instead of just coming to an agreement like, all right, we're gonna be at a middle ground and just work it out.
Here's a couple of things that I think. Number one, those are the worst. When you're in a relationship and y'all are always breaking up every other day, first of all, your friends get sick of hearing about it. Y'all get sick of it. No one believes you. Y'all broke up. Oh, now y'all back together. I had to make a pact one time with a boyfriend that I had where we said, look, we'll get into arguments, because being in a relationship, part of that is knowing how to argue in a healthy manner, right? Because you're not always going to agree on everything. Obviously, there's going to be times when y'all need to figure out how to come together and work out issues that you might be having. That's just as important as being in a relationship, is knowing how to healthily be able to argue and get over it and move on. And so one thing you should do is make a pact with each other that you're going to stop this silly breaking up all the time just to get back together. Because soon as you say, I'm done, it's over, we're not together anymore, it just becomes this whole other issue. And y'all know it's not even true. And no one even believes you guys, right?
Yeah, I posted up one time. I'm like, yeah, I'm single. Everybody's like, nah, I'm not believing you this time. Or they like, oh, I can't believe it because, you know, you guys are meant for each other. Well, not meant for each other, but, you know, we fit perfectly for each other.
Right. So what y'all need to do is, when you're not in the middle of an argument, discuss the things that you could both improve on within yourself and then for each other. And be receptive to hearing that criticism, because that's important. Is obviously y'all bump heads on things. You need to figure out, okay, if we get into an argument or if we have some type of miscommunication, this is how we're going to handle it moving forward, so that y'all have a game plan, because it is a team effort and it is a situation where y'all not always going to be smooth. But how do I handle it when things aren't smooth? And now, as far as your lease, when your lease is up, do you guys want to renew the lease? What is the discussion about that?
Well, no, we were planning before about moving, you know, out the neighborhood and stuff like that, and that's good. But now it's just starting to come to the point where it's like, should I just move by myself and handle what I got to handle? Move by yourself and handle what you got to handle. And then if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. That's literally.
Yeah, and there's, and y'all can still be together and not live together.
Yeah.
So if that's how you feel you want things to be, then yes, like, get your own places until y'all can get to the space where, okay, let's spend a year, you in your place, I'm in my place while we have this lease, and then let's figure out if we're going to be able to move forward and move past these differences and figure out how we can come together and work through things and not break up every other day. It drives everyone around you crazy, too.
Yeah, it's driving me nuts. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. So that's what I really think. And listen, like, so many people have that issue.
Yeah, it's more so like, you know, I'll go into my separate little, you know, side, and I get a little text like, oh, come over here right quick, you know, let's, I think we're going to talk about it. And it's just like more like a cuddle session. Or
right.
Like, you know,
and look, it's just, to me, it seems like y'all love each other. You know, you want to be together, but the arguing is like dysfunctional how y'all communicate with each other. And that's the problem that y'all need to fix, because there's nothing normal about arguing and breaking up every other day.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. No problem.
All right. Ask
ye. Thank you, guys.
800-585-1051. If you need relationship any advice or any type of advice, hit ye now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. I'm gonna
keep it real with you. Here's some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Ye.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Ye. Hello. Who's this?
This is Anna.
Anna, what's up? What's your question for ye?
Hi.
Anna.
Issues in my relationship, and it's been to where, like, okay, I went through his phone, and then I stopped going through his phone, and then he'll go through mine, but then don't want me to go through his. And I'm trying not to be a hypocrite, and him, you know, he's a hypocrite. I don't understand. And it's become an issue, and it's just like,
Do you not go through your significant other's phone? Do you leave them alone? Like, how would you guys handle
that? Why are y'all going through each other's phone? Because it seems like a deeper issue than just touching somebody else's property and reading their personal messages. What is the reason behind that? That's what you really need to get at.
Well, it has been issues. Like, in the beginning, I did, you know, it might be something that might pop up. And I'm looking like, that don't look right. So I would go through it. And then there would be a bigger issue that has happened. And it has been, you know, infidelity, it didn't seem right to me. And so I feel like since that happened, it's just been more of an issue. Like, okay, can I trust you and everything else? Like, I trust him now. I haven't been to his phone or anything like that. Everything's been okay. But it's just like, still now, you know, he might just pop on my phone and see it's not to be a problem. Because I think he is.
And, you know, it's different couples are different, right? Like, some people have access to each other's, full access to each other's phones, no problem. And some people feel like, look, you don't know what me and my friends are discussing, family members. I don't really need anybody going through my phone. And it's also a symbol of, do you not trust me? Why are you going through my phone? It's not like you just use my phone because you forgot yours at home or anything like that. It's because there's trust issues. And that's what it really is that y'all need to work through, is the trust issues. The phone is just a symptom of that. But the real issue is y'all don't trust each other fully. For some reason, he doesn't trust you.
Right. And see, and that's the thing, though, when he's going through my phone, there's nothing in my phone. There's nothing to find in my phone because I don't do anything. And the issue is when I look at his. And it's like, okay, now, it may not be a big deal, but you're still hiding stuff from me. And that's where I don't, like, communication, everything falls short. Even though we have communication, it's that little stuff that is being hid.
And, you know, it's like a tit for tat thing. Like, you found some stuff on his phone, so now he's trying to go through yours to see if he could find something so he could be like, well, you did this, because maybe it'll take away some of the heat that's on him for stuff that you found on his phone. And, you know, some people will tell you, well, if you go looking for something, you're going to find something. But the truth of the matter is, if you're looking for something, it's because you think something is going on, right? Because you wouldn't be doing this if you felt confident and secure.
Yes.
So y'all need to figure out, how do you feel confident and secure? And you need to discuss those things. What is it that you can do for me to make me feel more secure? What can he do that's going to make you feel like, okay, he's not doing anything? What are some of the steps that he needs to take?
Really, communication and making sure that you at least enlighten me on some of the things that's going on, regardless if it's petty or if it's not. Like, you know, it would be better for me to know about some of the things, so then when I actually see it, let's say I see it, you know, I won't be upset about it because I already know about it.
Right. Over-explain everything to me. I don't care if it's little. I just want to know what's going on, who you're communicating with, who this person is, so that I feel comfortable. And he should be okay with that. Have you told him that?
Yes. And we have been working on it, so it kind of has been getting better, but it's just, you know, I don't know. I feel like if for an open relationship, you know, for us to be open for each other and everything else, I feel like, you know, a phone shouldn't be a problem. Like, it shouldn't be a problem if I so happen to ask you to, can I see your phone? You know, let me see your phone for a second. It shouldn't be an issue of you standing over me and looking over me like you're being suspicious about it.
Right. Well, maybe what y'all need to do is make a pact with each other. Like, if as long as you are fulfilling these things, because I'm sure there's some things that he needs you to do also for him.
Right.
It's a give and take. If you guys can be open and receptive to those things, then maybe you make an agreement. Let's not go through each other's phones anymore. Let's try to do this with trust and see what happens. Now, if things fall apart, then it might be you having to figure out, is this a situation I want to remain in and stay in if I'm not feeling secure? But let's work on trusting each other. And it's a process because y'all don't have trust right now, and it might take a while to build that back up.
Thank you. And I had a question for the married men, too, how are you guys' relationship lasting? Like, how do your marriage last so long? Like, how did you guys get to the point where you're at with your wife?
Shutting the hell up and listening.
Well,
I ain't laughing.
Trust me, those phones have been gone through too.
Yeah.
My wife has access to my phone. Actually, she posts some stuff on Instagram for me. So, I mean,
right now, but I'm just saying it was a process to get to that point.
When I grew up and I realized what I wanted, and my wife is the love of my life, and I don't want to do nothing stupid to hurt her. So, yeah, we have an open relationship where open as far as our phones are concerned. I can leave my phone on the counter. She knows my passcodes. She knows the passcodes to everything. I know the passcodes to all her stuff, too. Like, it is what it is.
That's where I'm trying to get to. That's where I feel like, you know, it shouldn't be a problem. Like,
that's my problem, that it feels like it's a problem when it comes to stuff like that. And I don't want to be a problem because at one point I didn't even have a password on my phone.
Right. But you still don't want him going through your phone, right?
I never cared. That's my big thing. I never cared if he did or didn't. My issue was that you have a password on your phone and I don't even have them. And then he had the necessary thing. Password onto his Facebook. It's like, why do you have a password to your Facebook? Like, why?
So you're more concerned about his phone, because I felt like you were saying you didn't want him going through your phone and he keeps doing it.
Well, I don't feel like he should go through my phone if I haven't been going through his. I don't care if he goes through mine. It's just the fact that I feel like it should be equal 50-50 for that.
I just don't want y'all to feel like y'all got to go through each other's phones. I want you to get to that point where if you're using his phone or he's using yours, it's not because you're going through it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you so much for your help, and thank you, guys. You guys have a wonderful morning.
Peace.
You too.
All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you can hit Yee. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, and let's talk about Serena Williams and her new deal.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the
gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Russell Wilson and Ciara are going to be hosting NBC's Roll Up Your Sleeves TV special that's happening on Sunday. Now, there'll be influential people like Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, Dr. Fauci, of course, is involved. And they said it's going to educate viewers, raise awareness, and dispel concerns surrounding the COVID-19 vaccines.
I don't know if this is the week to do that. When they're recalling vaccines.
Maybe next week.
How can you dispel rumors or people's fear around the vaccine when you're actually recalling the vaccine because it's doing things to people? Well, the Johnson & Johnson one, at least. Mm-hmm.
The show will aim to inform and encourage those who have vaccination concerns to learn the facts.
Now, do you say on the show all of them except for Johnson & Johnson? We can't speak for that. But this is only about Moderna and Pfizer. Do you at least say that? Do you acknowledge that,
maybe,
at least?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of have to because it was recalled, right?
Yeah, if Dr. Fauci's on it and he's already spoken about Johnson & Johnson being paused for now because of concerns about blood clots for women. By the way, all six people that had complications were women. So that's on Sunday. All right. Serena Williams has inked a first look deal with Amazon Studios, and she spoke to Vanity Fair about it.
I just signed a first look deal with Amazon Studios, and so we're working on to create some scripted and non-scripted stuff and products and just bring really interesting stories that really touch the heart to the screen. Also doing a docuseries on yours truly, but just, you know, kind of following it around, but through my eyes and through my lens. And so I'm actually joining the EP credits on that as well.
We're dropping the clues bombs for Serena Williams. I love it. Anytime folks get money to create, I'm all for it. Mm-hmm.
She was actually talking to Michael B. Jordan during Vanity Fair's inaugural Cocktail Hour live event, and he gave her some tips, too, if you want to check that out. All right, Bridgerton has been renewed for seasons 3 and 4 already by Netflix. So, yes, season 2 hasn't even happened yet, but they've already renewed it for seasons 3 and 4. In a statement, Shonda Rhimes said, "From the first time I read Julia Quinn's delicious Bridgerton series, I knew these were stories that would captivate a viewing audience. But the evolution of this adaptation would not be a success without the many significant contributions of the entire Shondaland team. This 2-season pickup is a strong vote of confidence in our work, and I feel incredibly grateful to have partners as collaborative and creative as Netflix."
That's dope, because it helps you to create such an intricate storyline, because you know where you're going. You know how many seasons you got.
Yeah, I mean, there's gonna be some surprises next couple of seasons of Bridgerton.
Oh, you're on it? Shut up.
I didn't say that. I just said some surprises.
Exactly.
What?
It's not happening.
All right.
I have no faith in you. Don't believe in you at all.
I believe in
myself.
Okay.
You're a liar.
All right. Now, Javante Davis had posted on his Instagram story. I don't know if y'all saw this. "I can't stop cheating on my girl." And then he said, "I'm effing retarded." All right, so those are the posts. And his girlfriend is Nessa, rich girl Nessa. And she posted, "I hate my lurking skills. I be finding exactly what I'm looking for, including the whole family, and grandma don't play." And then I guess it was revealed that it looks like from these posts that were going back and forth that she's talking about Bernice Burgos' daughter. And so then Bernice Burgos' daughter actually went and was going back and forth on social media as well. So it turned into a whole big thing. But Javante wants people to know he was on Snapchat that he is not cheating. Here's what he posted.
So I'm only making this video right now just so Nessa won't think I'm out here cheating. I'm with this and this.
So he's showing who he's with to show that he's not cheating. He also said that he's not the person that posted that. He said none of that BS was me. So I don't know if he's trying to say somebody else posted it. I don't know.
No, are we sure she didn't get a hold of his password? You know what I mean? And got into his account to post that? I'm just asking here.
That's embarrassing. I don't know if I want to post that. Like, if I'm the girlfriend, I can't stop cheating on my girl.
Yeah, you
Why would I want to post that?
Then it's the effing retarded part after that. It's like she's doing that on purpose. Like, that's the point, to shame him.
I don't know. I have no idea what happened, but he's saying it wasn't him. All right, that is your rumor report.
Okay. All right. Well, shout out to Revolt. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mixes up next. Let's go. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, shout out to the Lucas Brothers for joining us this morning.
Salute to the Lucas Brothers, man. Brilliant, you know, talented individuals who are now Oscar nominated. I mean, I just like to see people come up because I remember when they were doing Friends of the People on True TV with my guy, Lil Rel and Jermaine Fowler and the late, great Kevin Barnett. And to see them, you know, writing a movie now that's Oscar nominated, you know, it's super inspiring. So salute to the Lucas Brothers, man. Newark, New Jersey's own.
All right.
Brick City.
All right. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now it's time to get up out of here, man. You guys have a great day today.
Also today, I'll actually be doing a live at 1 p.m. and I'll be with Coach Jesse, and it's called Save Our Moms, Black Maternal Health and Equity. So it's on the heels of the first ever proclamation of Black Maternal Health Week that was founded by Black Mamas Matter in 2017. And I'll be talking to Coach Jesse, including some other very special guests as well, be talking about these critical health issues and what we can do to save our moms by advancing health equity legislatively in the healthcare system and personally. So make sure y'all tune in for that at 1 p.m. today.
All right. Charlamagne, you got a positive note for the people?
I do, man. The positive note is simply this. Setting boundaries isn't always easy or nice, but it's necessary, spiritual, and empowering.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful Black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.